Ooh. Good morning, church. How are you guys doing? Good. I'm assuming you guys had a good Canada Day weekend, all that fun stuff. That's awesome. There we go. Okay. Anyway, I am, as always, super pumped to be speaking this morning. I'm super excited to be able to launch off this series, which we are calling Royals. And you know, when Erica, our worship director, came and posed this idea to be calling our next series Royals, my brain started going in like 1,000 different directions. Of like, we're thinking, you know, like I play a lot of board games and a lot of them have like a royal element to them. So my brain went there. You know, my brain started thinking about, you know, scripture and how it talks about us being royals a lot. And then my brain went to the thing that I kind of stayed on for a little bit, which is a little silly, which is my grandparents. And the reason why my brain went there for a little bit is because my grandparents have this deep, deep seated love for the royal family. Like, deep-seated, like, so much that, like, you know, when the last royal wedding happened, my grandpa called me and asked me if I watched it, and I was like, no, I didn't. He's like, okay, let me tell you about it, and then he talked to me for an hour about the royal wedding, which is, you know, it's cute, and, you know, when the queen passed, I called my grandpa to make sure he was okay, and all these things, and, but, you know, beside that, the other thing that I thought was really fitting is that my grandpa, you know, he is a deep believer in Jesus, and part of the reason that I'm here today is because of his input in my life. And my grandpa, you know, above his love for the royal family, he understood what it meant to be royal, what it means to be royal. Because, you know, in the Bible, it talks a lot of the fact that we are royalty. You know, it says that, you know, in 1 Peter, it says that we are a royal priesthood. In the book of Ephesians, we see this theme of royals from Ephesians 1 all the way through Ephesians 6. And so as I began preparing for this message, a question popped into my head. Why am I royal? What makes me royal? And I want to kind of be thinking with that because, you know, my brain went in like 1,000 different directions. I'm like, am I royal because of my actions? Am I royal because of my parents' actions? Oh, I start thinking all these things, but, you know, the answer was really quite simple, and I'm not going to make you guys fish for it. I'm just going to give you the answer. We are simply royal because of the king who came before. Plain and simple. We are royal because of Jesus. I am not royal because of anything special I did. There is nothing good or bad that I could do that would let me achieve royalty. But I serve a king, a greater king, who says, I will make you royal. How awesome is that? And this king. And with that royalty, there's a lot that comes along with that. And that's why I called this message the inheritance of a king. Because we're going to be talking about that. What does it mean to get the inheritance of a king? What does that look like? So as we progress forward in this message, I want us to be continually thinking back on the idea of I am only royal because of the king who came before. I want us, that's going to be our filter for today. That as we read Ephesians 1, that's going to be our filter. That everything we read, everything we hear, everything we break down, everything we understand is gone through the filter of that I am royal because of the king who came before. Make sense? You guys are all on board? Awesome. Okay, we're going to move forward then. We're going to jump straight into Ephesians 1. We're skipping verses 1 and 2 because it's just Paul saying, hi, I'm Paul and you're Ephesians. We're good. Okay. So to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 7, which says this. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he so lavished on us. Okay, we're going to stop there. We're barely in the book of Ephesians. We're like seven verses in, but we need to stop. One thing I want us to make a key note here is that already in here, there's a lot of blessings that it says we receive, a lot of things that we get. You know, we are holy and blameless. We get every spiritual blessing. We get adoption. We are redeemed. But one thing I want us to note is that none of that is done by our own merit. None of that is done by my work. It is all done in the work of the King who came before. In Christ, I receive every spiritual blessing. In Christ, before the foundation of the world, God said you would be holy and blameless through him. It is through Jesus that I receive adoption. And it is through him that I get redemption through his blood. So already we're receiving a lot of blessings and a lot of good things, but they all happen because of the King who came before. And the one thing I kind of want to sit on a little bit is adoption as his children through Jesus Christ. Now let's define adoption. So I went to the greatest source of all time, and I went to Google. And Google says adoption is the action or fact of legally taking another child and bringing it up as one's own. So one thing I want us to take note of right away, we are not royal by birthright. I am not born into royalty. I am chosen into it. And we can see that once upon a time, this would have been our birthright. You know, when God created Adam and Eve, it was their birthright to be royal. But then Adam and Eve sinned and they severed that tie. And then throughout Scripture, we see God trying to redeem them and then us continually severing it. We see this in the book of Judges. We see this with Abraham. We see this with David. We see this with all of the greats of the Old Testament continually breaking what God has set forth. So I am not royal by birthright, but through the King before, he chooses me. He chooses me. And in that choice, there's nothing that I can do to get that adoption. It's just freely given. This is the beauty of being adopted into a family, is that I am now his own. I once wasn't, but I am now his own. And now when you're part of the family, there's nothing that you can do to separate yourself from that family. I know this because, you know, I have a little 2-year-old and I love him dearly and he's wonderful. And he can be a bit of a brat. Sorry, Hugo. It's true, though. You know, there's times when, like, I'm playing with him and he'll just come up and slap me in the face. And yeah, it's funny, but it's not nice. But yet I don't go, how dare you slap me? You are no longer a part of my family. No, I go, you are still a part of my family who I deeply love. And adoption is special. You know, I was reading this book we have in our office called the Biblical Image Dictionary, and it says this. Adoption is an image of redemption, not of creation. The adopted one has been graciously and marvelously freed from bondage and made God's child. See, we were once had the birthright of royalty. We then broke that birthright. And then God sent Jesus to bring us back into that family, to become adopted, to become redeemed. You know, it says that we are redeemed in his blood, that we have redemption through him, that we are forgiven the trespass according to the riches of his grace that he lavishes on us. Because we are royal because of the King who came before, who chose us for adoption. Isn't that good? Isn't that exciting? I'm super pumped this morning, and We got a lot to get through because Ephesians 1 is a big book. It's a big chapter. So we're going to go straight, continue on in Ephesians 1, 8. With all the wisdom and insight, he has made known us the mysteries of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as he plans for the fullness of time to gather up things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, we've also obtained an inheritance, having been destined in according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things in accordance to his counsel and will, so that we, who were first set our hopes on Christ, might live the praise of his glory. In him, you also have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is a pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Ooh, a lot of good stuff there. So first things that I want to touch base on is right at the beginning when it says, with all wisdom and insight, we have made known the mysteries of his will. Can we soak that in and realize how insane that is? We get to know the mystery of the will of the king. If we were to go in olden times, when there were kings and queens and courts, this would be like if the king came forth to a peasant and said, hey, I want to share you the will for the next year. I'm going to tell you what I plan to do as a king. I'm going to tell you what taxes I plan to implement, what wars I plan to wage, how I plan to keep peace to a peasant. And then says, hey, also, come and join my family. Come and join my family. This is crazy that we get to know the will of the king. And not only do we get to know his will, but because we are a part of his family, we get to receive an inheritance. You guys know what inheritance is? Well, good thing Google does, because Google says to receive a possession or benefit from someone who has died. Now, really funny, as I was planning this message, me and my wife actually had a meeting with our life insurance broker. Really funny coincidence. But so we went and, we had this online Zoom meeting with them, and it was really wonderful and learned a lot of things. And one of the things that was so interesting was that, if I would have had this meeting with a life insurance broker like 3 years ago, I would have said, why? I have no assets. Because 3 years ago, I had nothing. I had a used car that I bought for basically nothing. I had, I didn't have much, but now I have a nice brand new car that I love. Me and my wife just bought our first home. And we have a 2-year-old. And then also we have another one on the way coming in October, which is just crazy. Thank you. So all of a sudden, I now have assets, but morally, I have people I want to bestow those things onto. All of a sudden, I have children that I want to raise properly. I have children that I want that when I pass, that when I go away from this world and enter into heaven, that they are well off. That's what inheritance is about. It's about giving your descendants blessings and things so that they can go on and live the best life they can. That's what inheritance is about. And I like to think that I'm a pretty decent dad. Maybe you can ask Cassie and she can maybe confirm or deny. But I like to think that I'm a pretty decent dad, even sometimes good. But I'm also pretty flawed. I make mistakes. I sometimes get angry when I shouldn't. I sometimes need a break. And I like to think that I'm going to be setting my son up for a good future. That the inheritance I am planning on giving him is a good inheritance. And I'm a decent dad. Now imagine the king, who we have described as the good, good father. How much better are his inheritance? How much better is his gifts? That's what I'm excited about, is these beautiful gifts that God gets to give us. These beautiful things of an inheritance. And here, we already start seeing some of that inheritance being doled out. You know, it says, with all wisdom and insight. That doesn't come from us. That comes from the King. You know, it says that we get to receive inheritance on earth and in heaven. So here's the crazy thing, because we know that an inheritance says to receive a possession or benefit from someone who has passed. However, we get access to the inheritance now, which is kind of cool. Because here's the thing about inheritance. So like with me and Cassie, we are, you know, the heads of our household. We dictate how our household moves and flows. We dictate what kind of rules Hugo must follow. And we get to dictate when the inheritance is doled out. You know, if I want, I can start doling out that inheritance early. And I do, and not all inheritance is money-based either. I will dole out wisdom and knowledge and the things that I have to pass on to him. And I can also dictate, like if I was to die tomorrow, I could dictate in my will that Hugo wouldn't get to see that inheritance until he turned 18. Right? Those are things that I can dictate as the inheritance keeper. So God, the King of Kings, who is the holder of our inheritance, is already saying, you have access to my inheritance now. That's pretty cool. And we get access to inheritance because of a simple fact that is stated in this. It said, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed. So simple. That's all we need to do to receive an inheritance is believe. To become a part of the adopted family is simply to believe. Because inheritance is simply just God saying, here are the adoption papers, I just need you to sign it. And with that signing, you now are a member of my family, not different from my true kids, but like my true kids. I see you as my own. That is this inheritance that we're joining in. That's the adoption that we're coming into. So we get this pledge of redemption, this pledge of inheritance as God's own people. And comes with that inheritance is power, comes with that inheritance is authority, comes with that inheritance is representatives. When I sign those papers, when I say I want to become adopted by Jesus, to be adopted by the King, to be adopted into the family, I am saying I am willing to be a representative of the King who came before. You know, because when you join a royal family, I am no longer just a son. And you know, you are no longer just a son. You are no longer just a daughter. You are now a prince of the King, a princess of the King, a representative of the King, which is really cool. And with that comes authority and power, which Ephesians continues on in the last part of this chapter. In Ephesians 1:15, it says this, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you, as I remember you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him. So that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may perceive what is the hope to which he has called you. And these are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is measurable greatness of his power for us who believe in according to the working of his great power. God put his power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only of this age, but of the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and made him the head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Okay, first off, I want us to realize who we represent. It is not just a king, it is the King. It is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, Yahweh, Adonai, Abba Father. I'm not just serving a simple king. I am serving the greatest king, the king who has authority over everything. Over everything in the heavenly places, he rules authority and power and dominion over every name that was ever named in this age and the age to come. And that all things are put under his dominion, under his feet, which is the body and fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the authority that we walk in. This is the king who gives us an inheritance. This is the king who says, welcome to my family, become adopted. This is who we serve. This is the king that we serve. Which is really awesome. You know, in John 1, 10 through 13 says this, he who was in the world, and the world came to being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to him who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. See, this is the cool thing, right? Is that I can say that, you know, I just turned 30 a couple months back. Is that 30 years ago, I was born of the will of man. I was born of the will of flesh. I was born out of human desire because my mom and my dad wanted to have a child, so they had me. But 18 years ago, when I was in a dark little cabin in the middle of nowhere at like 11:30 p.m., and I said, Jesus, I want to be a part of your family, I was then now born of the will of God. I was then born into the family. I was then adopted in. I was then given an inheritance. I was then said, okay, God, I'm part of your marvelous, marvelous family that I am so excited to become a part of because it is miraculous. It is wonderful. It is life-changing to become part of this family. This beautiful, beautiful family that I wouldn't change for anything. Because I don't have to do anything to receive that blessing. I don't have to do anything to receive that blessing. Yet, he does dole things out as we get to know him. He said, give you spirit, a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him. So yeah, I have access to an inheritance, but that's conditioned on the fact that I spend time with my family, that I spend time with my father. And here's the wonderful part of this, is that this is a different kind of royal family. This is a different kind of kingdom, because we serve a different kind of king, right? We know this. I've experienced this. I've experienced that I serve a king who cares for me. I serve a king who loves me deeply. I serve a king who says that he will train me up, that he will guide me, that he will be active in my life. You know, on Wednesday, as I was preparing this message, I read this passage in Hosea. It's Hosea 11, 1 through 5, and it says this. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called him my son. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me. They sacrificed to the Baals and they burned incense to images. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim how to walk, taking them by the arms. But they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness and with ties of love. To them, I was like the one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. Now, I read this passage on Wednesday, I was alone in the office, thank goodness, and I wept. as I read this. And it wasn't because like I read this differently because I'm a father or any of that stuff. It was as if God was saying, this is how I view you. It was as if God was saying, but when you were a child, I loved you. And out of your Egypt, I called you my son. Out of your dark place, I called you my son. Out of your darkness, I called you my son or daughter. And out of that, I called you out of it. But even though I called you my son and my daughter, the more I called you, the more you ran from me. You sacrificed to other images. You worshiped other gods. You praised things that shouldn't have been praised. But yet, it was I who taught you many things. It was I who taught you how to walk out of darkness. It was I who taught you how to walk out of pain. It was I who taught you how to love. It was I who taught you. It was I who healed you from that darkness. It was I who healed you from that brokenness. And it was I who led you with human kindness. It was I who taught you that. It was I who tied you with love. It was I who lifted you up like a little child and kissed you on the cheek. And it was I who bent down to feed you. I read that, and it was as if God was implementing me into the passage. And I wept because I realized I serve a different kind of king. I wept because I realized how much of a joy and pleasure it is to be a part of this family. You know, I can proudly say that I am a prince of the king for 18 years, and I wouldn't change a thing about it. And I've been through hell and back, I'll be honest. You know, I watched a lot of people get hurt. I watched myself get hurt. I struggled with depression and anxiety. You know, I buried my own father. And yet, I wouldn't change a thing. Because I can say that I serve a different kind of king. I serve a miraculous king. I serve a king who says, even though there was dark times, even though there is pain and struggles, there is also a bountiful inheritance. An inheritance of blessing. That I have access to the fullness of the kingdom of God. That as I move forward in my life, I have access not only to the kingdom of God, but to the king himself. It says I have access to every spiritual blessing. And here's the wonderful part about this is that I don't need to have my best day. God's not like you only get access to my inheritance when you're on your best behavior, Spencer. No, God is saying you have access to my inheritance right here, right now. So I can say, God, I need to access my inheritance right here, right now. As a son of the king, I'm saying, God, come. God, invade. God, do what you do. God, come. God, heal. God, meet us. I get to do that because I have access to the king as his child. I get access to the inheritance of that kingdom because of this bond that I made. And because I serve a king who loves me more than anything, that even though there was a season when I worshiped other idols, that there was a season when I burned incense to images, he still taught me how to walk. He still healed me out of my brokenness. He still taught me human kindness and still tied me with knots of love. That's a good king, if you ask me. So obviously you guys can tell we're wrapping up and coming to the end of things. But you know, we're just getting started because we're only done Ephesians 1. We got five more chapters to get through. But I want us to start off well as we continue through this book. I want start off right as we continue with this book. And it would be foolish of me to be talking about adoption, talking about inheritance, and not to have an offer of adoption. Because here's the beautiful thing, guys, is that this is a free gift. God isn't picking and choosing who he adopts. He isn't picking and choosing who gets his inheritance. We are predestined for adoption. We are predestined for inheritance. And that's an option for us all. Because I'm not special. But yet, I'm an adopted child of God. I am called his own. So I just want everyone to close your eyes. You know, we believe here that we see salvation through an outward expression of an inward change. So today here, it's maybe it's one of the first times you kind of heard this kind of message. Maybe it's the first time you've heard about the option of being adopted into the royal family. First off, I want to tell you that your past doesn't matter. Your mistakes doesn't matter. Your sins don't matter. This offer is still being offered to you. God is handing you an adoption paper that's saying, I want you as my child. All you got to do is say, yes, Lord. So if you're saying for the first time, I want to be adopted into God's family, it's as simple as just raising your hand, putting it back down. So if you want to be adopted into the family of God, if you want to be considered a child of the King, if you want to be considered royal, then just slip that hand up. Just slip it up. That's awesome. That's so amazing. I'm so excited that we now have new members of our family, that we now have new members of the kingdom and new members of royalty. Dear God, I thank you for adoption. I thank you for your inheritance. I thank you for this free gift. I thank you that you say, I love you deeply. That I called you out of your dark place into my family. I thank you, God, that that is a free gift. I thank you for the new members of our family, God. And I thank you that this is just a beginning of a deep and inner work. Work that's going to be an amazing work when we see it done. A work that when we join you in heaven, we will see the fullness of our inheritance. A work that says, you are a child of God. Now go boldly, move boldly with my authority, my power, and my might. So as we move forward with your authority, God, may we see the world changed as we bring your kingdom into every place we enter, into our homes, into our workplaces, into the streets that we walk, that we would see your kingdom invade this world because we are sending your sons and daughters out. I thank you for this in your holy name. Amen.